We don't want to forget all these things or, you know, how those moments made us feel and what we learned from them, you know?
Welcome everyone to the 2022 Year in Review Amplify Horse Racing Podcast Recap. I'm Timothy Latteau, always an honor to be joined by Anise Mount Pleasure and Caitlin Christofferson. Guys, how have you been the last few weeks after the Breeders' Cup?
I feel like I should pass that to Caitlin first. You probably put in the most steps at Breeders' Cup and are still trying to recover.
Yeah. Yes. Still busy in a good way, but only got about 2 or 3 days to recover, and then it was on to the next thing. And there's still been quite a bit of work travel to fit in before the end of the year, but it's all been great. I mean, I'm finally today was able to start my Christmas shopping, so I'm feeling better about that. But yeah, God, what a year. Can't believe we're coming to 2023. It's almost here.
I'm convinced that this is the fastest year I can remember for just how quickly everything passed. You know, one second it was January and we're looking ahead to, you know, Triple Crown. And I remember looking forward to Saratoga. And then all of a sudden Saratoga was done. We're barreling towards Breeders' Cup. And now that's done. And it's today, as we're recording, it's December 14th.
Yeah.
Just wild, but
basically 10 days to Christmas.
Yeah. It's been such a good year, though. It's, you know, I feel like everybody just rushed to hurry up and pack in all the things that we missed out on over the pandemic. So mm-hmm. I think it was even more exhausting than what I can ever remember in the past, but it was really fun. How about you, Timothy? We were talking about how there's a light at the end of the tunnel for you, almost done with finals and final projects before some winter break time.
Yeah, it's finals week right now, but I'm definitely looking forward to some time off over winter break. Going to catch up on some things and, I don't know, just time off is good for anyone I know. And, I know in horse racing a lot of times it's hard to find time off, but especially the horses, you know, the care never stops for the horses, but holiday season is a time definitely to show appreciation for everyone in the industry.
Amen to that. That's a really good point to bring up that, you know, we're all very blessed that we have, you know, I guess pretty, easy-ish jobs in terms of like working hours and time off and the ability to kind of put
money in the horse industry. I would say we have the most typical 9-to-5 jobs. So that is definitely a blessing, especially this time of year. So definitely thinking of everybody who works so hard 365 days a year, taking care of the horses.
Yeah, great point. And, I think now, not to be cheesy, but as you come to the end of the year and look at a new year, it's a great time to be gracious and reflect on the things that we're thankful for in the industry, whether it's the amazing people who take care of the horses or Caitlin, I know you've talked about your incredible team that you work with. You know, I've been so thankful for you guys and, you know, the doing this podcast, the fact that you guys are so amazing and intelligent and contribute so much to it. And I think that really goes along with our theme of this episode, which is similar to the theme that we followed for last year's end of year episode, talking about each of our highlights of the year, something really valuable that each of us learned, and then something that we want to focus on in the upcoming year. So I'm excited to dive right in.
Start off, my highlight of the year, I think, was having Stephanie Ronis on to talk about the Women's Summit. She talked about Flightline a little bit. That was really cool to hear like that kind of time and what that meant for her. But I think hearing her journey into the industry, which really kind of just began, you know, not more than a decade ago, and to the point where she's become now, you know, with this champion racehorse, was really a powerful story, and really exciting to hear just about from the women's side of the industry and their engagement and involvement and how that's being able to be grown and how You know, anyone in the industry, male or female, can continue to support women in the industry is really important. So I really enjoyed that episode, and it was really cool to hear from Stephanie.
That's awesome. But is that really like your personal highlight of the year, Timothy? Like,
oh, my personal highlight of the year?
Pumped about that episode. You're like, yes, this is my personal highlight of this year.
Okay. That episode was probably my highlight of the year on the podcast.
It was a great episode.
Man, the highlight of the year for me, though, definitely Saratoga Springs. Interning with the Saratoga Special up there was phenomenal for a couple months. I learned a ton, and I just got to see so much every day. Early in the morning, you know, I'd get up and sometimes have to go interview someone at like 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. You know, and it was just a really cool time of the morning, though, to see the horses getting ready for the workouts and stuff, and the sunrise coming up, and I don't know, there's just a lot of great like photos and videos that I got then. And yeah, and then, you know, during the races too, it was always a fun time during the afternoon. And even sometimes just like working, even in the press box, like late at night, you know, at 8 o'clock, maybe you're working on like a preview of a stake or something coming up, and you want to do a really good job on it. But, you know, you're just sitting there in the press box working, and there's just the glow of the screen from the infield. And, you know, you can see the water and stuff in the fountain and the lights in there. And just it was just a beautiful time of night. And I don't know. Sometimes Tim Wilkin, you know, from Blood Horse, he'd be there, and you'd talk with him late at night too, and that'd be fun. So, yeah, I would say no matter what the hour was, you would always be having a great time at Saratoga. It could be, you know, 5 a.m. when you first get to the track in the morning, or it could be like 1 or 2 a.m. when we left some of the mornings. You know, we had a lot of fun, though, and a lot of fun banter between like Tom and Joe and Sean and I. So, yeah. No matter what time it was at Saratoga, it was a fun time.
You rocked it this summer.
The way you described it. I can like see it now.
It's so surreal. Like, I don't know. That just kind of reminds me of, you know, we all have those surreal moments sometimes in our career where you're just like, wow, am I really here? Am I really doing this? And, you know, I feel like being at Saratoga at night is kind of one of those reminders. It's so beautiful, like you said, the glow of the lights on the track, and that's really cool, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin, how about you? Your highlight?
Oh my goodness, there were so many. I just feel like 2022, such a remarkable year, especially coming back from COVID. Except I did get COVID in 2022. That was definitely not a highlight. It finally caught up to me. But I mean, from, as you mentioned, working with Stephanie Hieronis on a bunch of Hieronis Racing and Flightline projects, that was just absolutely incredible. Getting to be there with the Hieronises when he won the Classic, that was pretty amazing. And so I would definitely say those were like my racing highlights of the year. And then as far as professionally, the Breeders' Cup this year, getting to return to Keeneland in its like full glory, because the last time I was there for the Breeders' Cup was 2020. And, you know, attendance, there were maybe a few thousand people there. So getting to see it in its full glory. And we had so many great stories for social that week, from Cody's Wish to Flightline. And it was just, you know, when we have a community like Lexington that is really so invested in the World Championships, it just kind of makes our job easier. It feels like everything really falls into place so naturally. And then just last week, I moderated a panel called What the Hashtag, the Importance of Positive Social Media in Horse Racing. And I moderated that with four panelists. So I worked on putting that together all year. And then it came to fruition last week at the Global Symposium on Racing. And my panelists were Dan Jordman, Haley Amos, Claire Crawford, and Rachel Zilborg. So, I mean, that was awesome. That was a huge, like, that was a big experience for me, having been in the industry for so long and then getting to play a bit of like a public speaking role in what we do and describing what we do and why we do it and how we do it. That was amazing. Fantastic.
What a year. That's really cool. Were you nervous for the panel? Like when you got up on stage?
With me, it's always, no. So with me, it's always the anticipation. Like I'm like this at horse shows. I will be so nervous until the moment I get on my horse, or in this instance, it was until I walked on stage. And then as soon as I sat down and we were like, I was ready to go. But yeah, the morning before, the like waiting around, because we were like, our panel was right after lunch. So just like waiting all through lunch to get to that point.
I would say the professional highlights of my year took place throughout June and July, in that I was asked to be the MC for the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation's Welfare and Safety of the Racehorse Summit, and then put together a panel for Amplify as well at the summit, representing youth and young adults' opinions on, or the importance of welfare and safety to youth and young adults getting involved in the industry. So I had never before emceed an event like that, just an entire event. And there was definitely a bit of imposter syndrome there, in that I knew some of the previous MCs, and they're very well-known, prominent individuals in the industry. So I know that there was definitely this piece of my brain leading up to it wondering, am I going to measure up? Is this going to, you know, am I going to be good enough to do it? And it went really well. And I felt great when it was wrapped up, and, you know, they got great feedback and viewership from the event. And then I went home and bought a whole pizza and sat on my couch and ate it. And it felt great. And then at the same time was working on translating a fully bilingual exhibit for the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. So as I was prepping for the Welfare and Safety Summit, I was also going home and translating every single night for this amazing bilingual exhibit and helping translate the whole thing into Spanish. So once I think when I got to go to the opening of that exhibit, it was just like I could take a deep breath and feel like, wow, I can now look back at these two really cool things that I did. And, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I did it. And I learned a lot from both of them. And they're both just such cool accomplishments. And I guess in terms of racing highlights, I would say Cody's Wish. Caitlin, I know you brought up Cody's Wish and the coverage of that. So if anybody's not familiar with Cody's Wish, that is a horse that was named after a young man named Cody Dorman, who has Wolff-Hirschhorn syndrome, which is a type of disability that leaves him nonverbal, and he's in a wheelchair. And so through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he was connected to Godolphin, who ended up naming this horse Cody's Wish, and that horse went on to win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile this year. And it was just like, I've definitely watched the NBC coverage of that race multiple times, and I cry every single time. It was just such a highlight for racing, I feel like, and just such a beautiful fairy tale of a story that definitely needs to be made into a movie. And I just send it, yes, to everybody. Like any of my friends that are not in horse racing or don't have a full grasp of, you know, the racing industry, or, you know, what I do, or, you know, the love for the horses, anything like that, I just go ahead and send them that story. I'm like, watch this, get your tissues, and then you'll start to feel, you know, how passionate we all are about this sport and how beautiful it is and the amazing connections it helps to make.
Yes, he was at him and his family were at Racing Symposium, and they were awarded at Tuesday's luncheon the
Big Sport of Turfdom Award.
Yes, thank you. The Big Sport of Turfdom Award. And I mean, the whole room was crying.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's just so special. Aww.
Yeah, that was
great highlights, guys.
Yes, I totally forgot about Women's Summit. There were so many amazing things that happened this year.
Yeah. I feel like I need to start journaling more frequently just so I remember.
Right.
All
I was
the
just
going to
say
that.
I need
year.
To write down
so I don't forget. We don't want to forget all these things or, you know, how those moments made us feel and what we learned from them, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Timothy, hit us with what you learned.
Okay. I would say one of the biggest things that I learned was actually in our most recent episode. We recorded with Kate Hunter, and she talked about kind of her journey, working her way, through different jobs in the industry to doing what she does now with helping horses in Japan compete internationally, especially coming here to the U.S. to compete in some of the major races. So I thought it was just a really amazing journey that she talked about. I mean, just being a photographer at the track, and even being just a teacher in Japan as well, and kind of, then working her way through the thoroughbred industry there and finding, her way into the current role that she has. You know, she's self-employed and just doing what she absolutely loves. So I thought that was amazing. And as she said, keep trying different things and, do what's best for you, and you'll eventually find the right job for you. And her story was very inspiring. And I learned too, keep doing, what you do enjoy, and, your path to your, favorite job, and to the best job of your career might not be a straight path, but, there might be a few twists and turns, but you'll get there eventually. So I don't know. It was just a story that I really liked and enjoyed hearing. And yeah, I thought she had a lot of great things to say on that episode.
I agree. I think that was probably my favorite episode of the year. And it was really fun because it was kind of a walk and talk recording where we could hear her actually working on things and getting ready for Breeders' Cup in the background. Like at one point, one of the individuals who worked with the horse that she was there representing needed some ice. So we could hear her going to go get ice and translating for veterinarians. And it was just so real. And it just... She's such a cool person and a great example of a, one of the cool jobs in racing that you could never just come up with. Like, it's one of those jobs that a kid wouldn't just generally think, well, I can be a jockey, a trainer, or a veterinarian. You know, it's not on that list. But if you're creative and you, Timothy, like you said, you follow what you love and what you enjoy, your position will kind of come to fruition organically. So, yeah. Caitlin, what'd you learn?
I felt like I was a lot calmer this year. In 2021, I was pretty stressed out with taking over the reins from Molly and Shona. And I felt like I very much came into my own being COO this year. And I learned that... basically every problem has an answer, and that every answer does not need to be delivered immediately, and not every answer reveals itself immediately. But generally, I think that I learned how to be an overall better leader for my team, and to display calmness and patience and diplomacy. And I felt like that really, I feel like I kind of grew into and learned from, the past few years of everything that I've everything that I've had to go through, every challenge that I've had to go through, and becoming a leader for a team, I finally developed that like sense of leadership calm that so many of the best leaders have. Generally, you don't want to see a leader who thinks her is acting like the sky is falling every 5 seconds. And like I said, I think I was able to bring that peace to my team this year through what I've learned so far.
That's awesome. Well done. That yeah. really is an accomplishment. That's like a life milestone.
Well, I just, hope it sticks around. You know, I'm sure there will be like many, many more challenges in the future. But yeah, I hope that we can continue to add to our team and grow our agency and keep, you know, keep a solid head on my shoulders while doing all of that.
You will for sure.
Thank you.
I hope that I can get to that point pretty soon, Caitlin.
We'll look up to you as our role model for real.
Oh gosh. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think it just comes with time too. I mean, there can be so many unknowns, and when you don't have a lot of like past experience, which I always have, like I've always been a leader, you know, whether it was as a teenager on different like youth organizations and college, same type of thing. But I think, you know, once you're really responsible for a bit more like keeping a business operating, and going through some of those challenges, it does help you develop like another level of leadership aptitude.
Yeah, for sure. I think, let's see, biggest thing I learned, I would say the importance of caring for myself and, you know, not putting other things or obligations that I think are necessary before my own health. Like Caitlin, I know you mentioned you got COVID this year. I got COVID from the Kentucky Derby, and you know, I was already really stressed out and probably pushing myself too hard, and you know, was already susceptible to getting sick. And so, you know, I had to be okay with rescheduling a whole trip because I was going to go to Spain. And so rescheduled the whole trip. And the week after Derby, again, don't know why I thought this was a reasonable thing to do, but I had my whole schedule booked with like speaking obligations, like speaking to classes, attending a conference, you know, a multitude of meetings when I should have already just blocked off rest time anyways. And so I had to just be okay with canceling all of it, staying at home, sleeping a lot, and just taking care of myself, and also just realizing that the world goes on without you as well. Like, none of what we do is saving the world here. Like, hopefully we're making small changes, but, and you know, I do like to think that we're having a positive impact on the life of youth and, you know, giving them a direction in their own career journey. But really, at the end of the day, we can't have any of that change or make any of those changes and make a difference if we're not fully healthy ourselves. And the world will go on without us, even if we're sick. And so the goal is to try to not get to that point. But if you do, it's all good. Chill. Have some of that leadership chill that Caitlin talked about.
Well, and you're right. And part of that is realizing that the world will continue to spin without you. So, you know, it's okay to like take a step back occasionally and refocus and recenter. And I think that you have to, that's the biggest thing that you have to learn, right? Is that
yeah.
we're not saving lives. I totally agree with you. We are working to make positive changes and be positive examples within the horse racing industry, but we're not neurosurgeons or heart surgeons. Yeah. And yeah, I think that once you kind of learn that, it definitely helps with the leadership calm.
Yes, for sure. No, it was just one of those moments where I was like, I was so devastated as it was happening. And like one by one, all of my plans started going haywire. And then once I just accepted it and just accepted that I was just going to get better and, you know, focus on myself and my health, I did get better, thankfully, and carried on and did lots of cool things the rest of the year. So, let's see, now we're on to the, what are we going to focus on next year? Timothy.
Let me think about that for 1 second. I meant to make some notes.
For me, focusing on for the next year, I don't know, hopefully in the next couple months, focusing on like getting a job, securing a job, and just being ready for after graduation. It's a busy time. I'm applying. I'm talking, you know, to different people hiring. So it's it's exciting, but it is nerve wracking. But we'll see how it all plays out.
Anything in horse racing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woo!
Maybe like Naira TV. You know, working on the America's Day at the Races program. Maybe
Holy
that.
Cow,
so
Timothy, that would be amazing. That would be really cool. I will keep my fingers and toes crossed for you for that, you know, opportunity. And that would be awesome. And I know Caitlin and I both have lots of contacts and friends in New York, which you now have. So if you need any help, we can both certainly help you, you know, form a friend group and start thinking about that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I appreciate it. So, yeah. So I'm still weighing options a little bit, but we'll see. No matter what, though, like, I hope to, you know, choose the best route and be working in horse racing TV for a long time. That's my goal, and that's been my dream for a long time. So, so we'll see how it goes.
That would be awesome. I randomly, after the Amplify Saratoga tours last year, I was going around and delivering some thank you cards and hats to people who had assisted with the tours. And so we had gone into the TV department. We got to go into the production trailers and see how that all works, which I had never watched a live production in progress like that. And I ended up talking to a couple of their camera people who work with the zip camera, like the one that zip lines across the backstretch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fascinating. I was like, wow, I'm just so amazed by your guys' job that, you know, they talked about the tension and the cable and how they deal with, you know, wind and if there's vibrations from the cable and how they have to check on it. And yeah, it was fascinating. So they've got a cool team over there. Caitlin, are you ready or you want me to jump in first?
Yeah, no, I'll, I'm just going to set it back up. So hopefully, Timothy, you can like edit out that part where I said I was going to take notes.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm ready. I'll set it back up. Yes. So what I want to focus on in 2023, and I alluded to this a bit, but I am really looking forward to growing the agency. I feel like we have an amazing team. I've grown into my leadership role, and now I want to continue to add to that team, and I want to add clients. And I just, you know, the sky is the limit for me. I've always kind of seen Grand Slam being eventually like a full service marketing agency. So working on that in 2023, I'm very hopeful that we'll just continue to expand.
Good luck. That's exciting. That is really exciting. Growing a business is no small thing. It's a ton of work. And you, I have all the confidence that you can certainly do it.
Thank you so much. And then personally, I want to continue working with Charles, of course. It's been a rough 6 months. We just kind of went through several, really it all came back to body function and body issues, and it made him quite an unhappy horse. But I think we're finally moving away from that. He's healthy, he's sound, and so now just getting him strong again and getting him back into the show ring, and hopefully moving him up to the 3 foot this year.
Woo! That's so fun. Gosh. Yes. I don't really have any ambition to get back into showing, but I started learning polo this year.
That's right. And
that I think is definitely a goal for next year. My goal is to be able to take lessons and maybe play a bit when I'm up in Saratoga. So that's one goal, like a fun horsey goal. But my big goal to focus on is Amplify. So I'm currently transitioning to running Amplify full time. So I'll start as the full time executive director on January 3rd, 2023. And we'll start expanding nationally on a much broader basis. So, you know, solidifying our programming that we have in Kentucky, doing a lot of exploration among other states to see what they have going on in the space of education and promoting careers and involvement in the industry, and figuring out how we can best support that as a national body, and growing our mentorship program and coming up with new events and ideas, one of which will be a young professionals network, which we're really excited about. And I'm going to loop you guys right into that. And yeah, just again, growing, learning. The plans will, I'm sure, change as we go along, and, you know, just have to adapt and go with it and see how it comes together and how, you know, Amplify will tell us what it needs to be. The more research I do and the more people I meet and the more places we travel to. So
we'll talk about growing a business. You know, I mean, how it wasn't very long ago that Amplify was just a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, gosh, 2019. We started as a grassroots initiative. We got our 501c3 at the end of 2020. You know, for the last 2 years, I've been the education coordinator for the KEEP Foundation, and I'm very grateful to them for having basically been an incubator to Amplify and allowing me to continue to work on it as part of my role. And they will continue on as an industry partner here in Kentucky as we, you know, continue to grow nationally, to better serve the national thoroughbred industry.
Anise, is there a certain achievement that you had with Amplify that like you're most proud of, or anything that you want to highlight?
I think this is the achievement. Like, it felt like it was going to be so, I know that there were some points with Amplify where I wondered if it would ever really truly take flight and get the support that it would need to take off and better serve youth and get young people involved in the industry. So the fact that, you know, we've reached this point, we're taking off, you know, we're backed by, several industry partners and donors who have faith in our mission. And so the fact that this is happening and it's really real and it's its own thing now is just mind-blowing to me. Like, that's the big accomplishment. Along with all the, you know, I'll add to that and say I love connecting people. Like, that's one of the things that brings me joy in life, is making connections and helping people find opportunities that are going to be best suited to them. So I'd say, Timothy, not to embarrass you, but you're one of our amazing success stories and one of the things that makes me so proud. And, you know, you're such a great example of why something like Amplify needs to exist. And now you're going on to hopefully work in the industry. You know, you might not have had an opportunity in the industry without it. And so, you know, stories like your own are things that just like make me burst with pride and get so pumped up about what is going to happen in the future.
Yeah, well, you should, because I'm super thankful to continue to be a part of Amplify, and really thankful for all that it's given me. So yeah, there's a lot to be proud of, Anise. You should be proud.
Yes, well, absolutely. You. And I know now that you're going to be focusing on it full time, I can't even imagine the things that you'll do.
Well, I'm again very thankful for you guys, because you've both been a big part in its growth and getting to this big launching off point. And you know, you guys are both such assets to our greater, well, even though we don't have a big Amplify team, you guys are a big part of the team that we do have. So thank you guys for everything, and you know, cheers to achieving goals in 2023.
Absolutely. Yes. Cheers to dreaming big and reaching them all.
And I think certainly, another, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Timothy.
No, yeah, certainly achieve the goals, you know, and keep pushing, you know, maybe not all the goals happen in 2023, and that's okay.
Yeah. You know,
there's 2024. As long as you keep making progress though, and keep going along the right track, that's an important thing.
It's a very realistic way of looking at it. But I also wanted to add, I know a goal of all of ours is to continue to grow this podcast. So for everyone listening right now, please rate and review us on, you know, whatever platform you're watching on, but especially, listening, whatever platform you're listening on, and especially Apple Podcasts, because that helps people who might not have known they were interested in getting into the thoroughbred industry to stumble upon us and see what a great resource this podcast is, and hopefully learn something from it. So again, comment, rate, review, say positive things, please. And, you know, stick with us in 2023, because there's a lot more to come.
Well, yeah, thanks, Amplify listeners. We are so thankful. Whether this is your first podcast that you're listening to, or if you've listened to all of them in 2022, thanks for coming along for the ride. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. See you guys in, well, we'll talk to you guys in 2023. Hopefully see you too at some kind of industry event.
Yes, I will miss you all so much. Please keep in touch over the holidays, but also tune out and get some very, very well-deserved rest for both of you.
Yeah.
And definitely, I will wait to see what 2023 has in store.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.
Cheers. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Amplify Horse Racing Podcast.
Be sure to check out our website, www.amplifyhorseracing.org, and follow us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for more of our content.
If you have any podcast ideas, please email us at info@amplifyhorseracing.org.
We'll catch you next time.